morning and welcome to Wednesday morning. And yes, believe it or not, Oiler fans, the sun did come up today. I was questioning it last night. I walk into the office this morning. Shane Clausing, one of our hardcore Rider fans, has his jersey neatly folded on his desk. A couple of teardrops spilled around the jersey. Oh, boy. Tough one last night. We're going to get into that in the big talker in just a moment. The Oilers lost to the Panthers, and the Panthers hoisting the Stanley Cup last night. On the show today, a few different things we're going to do. A check-in on the recently concluded G7 meetings in Kananaskis. Trump left early. Some discrepancy on the wording in the support of Ukraine. No joint communique, which we know typically they do that. But it didn't happen this time. So was it a success or not? We'll check in with reporter Glenn Brothen, who was there a little bit later on this morning. We watched the wildfires burning in the north, and we continually get updates. Of course, we've been reacting to this as a province in terms of resources, relief efforts. Many of these fires started by humans, some naturally occurring through weather events like lightning strikes. Some say the intensity and growing number of the fires is directly linked to a warming planet. That discussion coming up at 9 o'clock. Open lines today. I know this is going to tick some people off. I'm just throwing out a trigger warning right now because I'm going to talk about leadership, and I've got a couple of really good examples of how stark contrast can happen. One leader that never stops impressing me, and one that recently made comments that I think are disgusting and inexcusable. We'll talk about that in open lines. We'll check in with the Regina Police Service, including that tasered porch pirate this past week. We're going to pull in three young athletes from Weyburn. In fact, we're going to get them out of school for a quick chat about their recent trip overseas to a soccer camp, a new product to help prevent flat tires on your vehicle, Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener, and a ton more. Let's get going with today's big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Well, last night was the night.
The rain's going to continue. And now they're knocking on Dynasty's doorstep. The Florida Panthers back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
You can barely hear Chris Cuthbert with that call. Of course, the game in Florida last night, and they win it a game shorter than last year's Stanley Cup final. It ended in six games. The Florida Panthers beat the Edmonton Oilers last night. Game six didn't go well. Here to help break it down a little bit is Jamie Nye, our friend and host of The Green Zone. Jamie, what do you think of that game?
I just want to know if you handed back your Oiler bandwagon card.
Well, it's still sitting here. It's still sitting here on my desk. I mean, listen, I got to give it a little bit of time. I was in. I was cheering for the Oilers. I was wanting that cup to come to Canada and to Edmonton. I'll be back with my Islanders next year, but I need a little breathing room, Jamie.
Yeah, well, the Florida Panthers, when you look at from game number three on, and that was the game where everybody kind of went, what was that from the Edmonton Oilers, where they were like trying to out panther the Panthers, and it was just weird. And I said after that game, the Panthers are going to the room laughing, going, we got them, boys. Mm-hmm. We got them. And from that moment on, they dominated the series outside of one period, and that was the second period of game four when the Oilers came back from 3-0 down and tied the game at three. Outside of that, the Panthers absolutely beat the Oilers up and down the ice. And Stuart Skinner said that after the game. It's like, after game two, we kind of changed our game, and they were consistent, and we weren't. And that's where that moment was, where you started to see the blenders going for the Oilers lineup card, and it seemed like Paul Maurice just kept doing what he was doing with his lineup, mm-hmm. and the Oilers weren't, and I believe in that Stuart Skinner was bang on. It was all about consistency. The Panthers never changed their game, and the Oilers very much did.
So the Oilers clearly have the horsepower. I mean, they've got the players. We can talk about goaltending in a moment. Did this come down to coaching?
I don't want to put it all on coaching, because there's a few things, right? Like, Bobrovsky's a better goaltender than Skinner or Pickard. Zach Hyman was out of the lineup. The Florida Panthers weren't without any of their top six, really. They were pretty healthy. I know Matthew Tkachuk was pretty banged up and injured himself and pretty much almost called it a season after the Four Nations face-off. But when it comes to that aspect of it, of changing the lineup and seeming almost like panic a little bit, I think Chris Knobloch might have, you know, panicked just a touch in his lineup rather than just going, what are we doing here? We're up. We could be up 2-0 in the series or down 2-0. You remember that after game two, and it seemed like the Oilers flinched. It was really after game three when Chris Knobloch started to blend up the lines and change the chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Jamie Nye is my guest, the host of the Green Zone. Early in the playoffs, Paul Maurice, and I think I heard you guys talking about this early in the playoffs, he made a statement that his team, the Florida Panthers, was better. The club was better this year than last year, and I think it raised a few eyebrows when he said it. I reflect on it, and I think they were. Were the Oilers worse?
No, I don't think so. I think what happened with the Edmonton Oilers, like I liked some of the depth pieces that they put in place. What was going on with the Edmonton Oilers, they're one win different from last year, right? And I think the only thing that was worse was the consistency between the pipes, where there was a lot bigger games and bigger moments that Stuart Skinner had last year in the playoffs and bigger saves than he had this year. I think the Edmonton Oilers, I think both teams going in were better teams than they were last year. The impact of Zach Hyman's injury is now being felt, I think, a little bit harder than we thought, because Zach Hyman didn't have the year he had last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was a Harding, I think he was impacting the game a little bit more on the physical side and the forecheck side than he might have been last year. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's a war of attrition in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I think the Oilers got hit by the injury bug a little bit more. And I think when it comes down to goaltender, Bobrovsky was better in this playoffs in this series than he was in last year's series, yeah. And Stuart Skinner was not.
Bobrovsky definitely had a great, great series. So when it comes to off-season decisions, is goaltending top of the list for the Oilers, do you think?
It should have been top of the list at the trade deadline. I think you look back at Stan Bowman and go, what were you doing? You had a Stanley Cup contender. We all knew you had a Stanley Cup contender, and Stuart Skinner was not having a great year, and neither was Calvin Pickard. And you go, where was the move to try to get a goaltender to stabilize some things? And you didn't see it from the general manager at the deadline. I don't think they make that same mistake twice, but it's going to be very interesting. They don't have a lot of cap room. Evan Bouchard's going to want to raise. They're going to might have to pay a goaltender a little bit more. Connor McDavid's going to re-sign his new contract. The first year of Leon Draisaitl's extension kicks in, and you start to wonder how much of this band the Edmonton Oilers can keep together.
What's the deal with Evan Bouchard? Because, I mean, God, last night, to me, he was the cause of at least one, if not two, of the goals. And yet, I mean, this guy put the puck in the net a lot for the Oilers as well. What's the deal? Is it a consistency issue?
It's a defensive issue. He's an offensive defenseman.
I was going to say, maybe he should be moving up. Maybe he should play on a wing or something.
But when you look at his game, you need, well, you look at the Florida Panthers defensemen. They're just hard to play against. They are absolutely brutal to play against. Seth Jones is maybe more of an offensive guy, but he's still a big boy who can move people around. Whereas the Edmonton, is Evan Bouchard tough to play against? Absolutely not. And that's where I go when he's an RFA and restricted free agent. It means that, you know, the Oilers have first right of refusal, so to speak, July 1st. And other teams can do a restricted offer sheet, but the Oilers will get draft picks if they don't sign him. It happened to the Oilers last year with a few players. But it's one of those things where you want more jam. You want more grit out of your blue line, and you don't see it from Evan Bouchard. And there are times where the Florida Panthers just walked right over them.
Jamie Nye is my guest, host of the Green Zone. Are the Florida Panthers a dynasty? Is it too early to use that word?
I think you need three championships to be a dynasty. I know they've been to three straight Stanley Cups, but were the Tampa Bay Lightning a dynasty? They made it to three straight, only won two. This is the same thing. Just because Matthew Tkachuk says so doesn't mean it's true. Win another one in the next 2 years. He wins three of four. Like, a dynasty. Now, maybe you lower the standard because of the salary cap here in the modern day dynasty, so to speak, but I can't call them. The Oilers were a dynasty. The Islanders were a dynasty. The Canadians were a dynasty. They won more than two Stanley Cups.
I feel like, and there's probably a lot of people that are feeling this way this morning. I'm appreciative of Sam Reinhart as a player. I was scratching my head a little bit that he was one of the first six announced for the Olympics. And then we see the performance last night, and I'm like, okay, sorry, Mr. Reinhart, I owe you an apology. Clearly, he's a strong hockey player.
Well, he was hurt. It came out yesterday. He was playing, like, he hurt a strained MCL in the, was it the third or second round of the playoffs? So he wasn't even 100%. And you kind of felt that. You're like, man, Reinhart's not really got that burst that we usually see from him, especially in the regular season. Now we know why. And then he goes out and, you know, two goals and two empty netters for a four-goal performance. And you see why he got the Brad Marchand spot, because there's only two differences, or the one difference from the Four Nations, you know, first six, and that was Brad Marchand out and Sam Reinhart in. And I think there's going to be a bundle of Panthers on that Olympic team, including Sam Bennett and Brad Marchand, when everything shuffles mm-hmm. out in December.
Okay, let's talk about those two before we wrap up our conversation. I can't even believe that I'm saying this, because I've spent most of Brad Marchand's career loathing the guy, because, of course, the Islanders play against the Bruins quite a bit. Now he moves to Florida. I grew a different appreciation for him during the Four Nations Cup. And I have to say, Jamie, there was a part of me that was quite proud to see Brad Marchand, a Canadian hockey player, hoisting that cup, knowing the difference he made to that Florida Panther team.
Well, there are times in his career where, of course, he was the super pest. And when he's licking people's faces, you're like, what a disgusting pig. Yeah. But as he's aged and probably matured a little bit, I think he's found his game, as he can be a super pest and not have to do those types of things. And that's what we've seen. And we're seeing the character. He's got a huge personality. The Panthers fell in love with him almost from the second he walked into the room. You see him shooting the rats at him. He's kind of self-deprecating now a little bit, and he's endearing himself to Canadian hockey fans, even though as a Canuck fan, it was sure hard to see Roberto Luongo arm-in-arm with Brad Marchand celebrating a Stanley Cup after Marchand took one from us in 2011.
Yeah, for sure. So on that note, Sam Bennett wins the Conn Smythe Trophy, MVP of the playoffs. Was that the right choice simply because he scored the most goals?
No, he scored a lot of big goals. And here's the thing. I forget who said it, but it might have been Cuthbert or Craig Simpson, or I forget who it was, Ron McLean maybe, who said, can they share it amongst four guys?
Yeah,
because Marchand could have won it, Bennett could have won it, Bobrovsky could have won it, Reinhart could have won it. Yeah, like, and that's why they're the Stanley Cup champions.
Right.
When you looked at the Oilers, it was okay. It was McDavid or Dreisaitl, and it needs to be more than McDavid and Dreisaitl for the Edmonton Oilers. And it was up and down the ice. The Florida Panthers had what, six guys with 20 plus points. The first time we've seen three guys with five goals in a Stanley Cup final from the same team in decades. Like, what the Florida Panthers are doing up and down the lineup was actually historic. Mm-hmm. And the Edmonton Oilers went up against a historically strong, deep team and lost. So you don't have to blow it up in Edmonton, but you definitely have to look and say, how can we get better? The Panthers won the President's Trophy and then made that huge trade after they blew it in round one with Huberto and Tkachuk. So that's where you look at, they tinkered. They went, well, how can we get better? And they got way better with that trade. And the Edmonton Oilers might have to do something similarly drastic to get over the hump.
Jamie Nye, my guest. By the way, is Locker going to be okay today? I know he was going on a bit of a tangent. He's worried about Gary Bettman and some kind of a curse like that had an effect on the game.
He would not. It was disgusting last night. he would not give the Florida Panthers any credit. It was Matthew Tkachuk's a bonehead, and I hate that guy. And Gary Bettman has cursed the Canadian franchises. And And I was like, can you say something nice about Florida? And he was said no. So I don't know what kind of mood he's going to be in today. Maybe he slept on it.
Well, good luck with that today, Jamie, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, no problem, Evan. Back on that Islanders bandwagon. Good to see you.
That's right. Throw that Isle jersey. Hey, I have Rich Pilon on the show today.
So,
hey, you know, we're not talking about hockey, but we'll probably weave it into the conversation somehow.
He might know a thing or two.
Yes, that's right. Jamie Nye, who is host of the Green Zone, that'll be much of the talk today. Today, of course, breaking apart that game. And as always, they'll open up the phone lines for you. We've got some open lines coming up later this morning. And if you want to talk about that game last night, and really, I think it's less about last night's game and more about the series. The Panthers were the better team. The better team won the Stanley Cup. And Oilers take the offseason, rebuild, make some adjustments, strategize, and hopefully come back next year and make another run at it. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks again to Jamie Nye stopping by. Jamie, the host of the Green Zone, talking more today at 2 o'clock when the Green Zone fires up about that Oilers loss last night. Hey, a quick shout out to my friends in North Battleford. I'm going to talk a bit about this later this morning, but yesterday afternoon after the show, jumped in the vehicle and did a bit of a tour, a couple spots in North Battleford. Loved the hospitality, connected with a ton of great leaders in that community. Boy, lots to be proud of there, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later on the show today. Coming up in a moment, we will talk forest fires and some of the possible reasons behind them with someone from the Canadian Climate Institute. Ryan Ness will be here next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.